Maybe we can say that like any other successful person in the world, the first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great efforts.
My method of tafsir is Quran by the Quran.
We have in the Quran that if you do everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you have a divine cause and you follow that divine cause, Allah make you famous. Generally, we have people who go after the popularity, for example, through their like books and the works that they do. But Allama, one of the main characteristics was that he was doing everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, philosophers, and jurists all across the nation of Islam. And with me in the studio are two experts, two religious experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Dr. Murtaza Rezazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, brother. And Dr. Murtaza Rezazadeh, thank you very much, brother, and assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
From today onward, we want to talk about a personality who is considered maybe one of the most, and maybe the most, prominent thinker in the modern Shia Islam, and he had expertise in different fields of studies. He was a polymath, in fact, and his comprehensive personality made him one of the greatest trainers, teachers, and philosophers of contemporary Iran, and not only Iran, in the world of Islam. And he is no one but Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, mainly known as Allama Tabatabai. Allama, in fact, is an honorific title used for a polymath in Farsi and Arabic language.
When we went to Najaf, we stayed there for about 10 years. We came back to Iran, but to Tabriz. There, we didn't have this philosophical growth that other places like Tehran had. So I decided that no matter what, I needed to get myself to Qom. We can't expect philosophy to solve societal problems by itself. Philosophy only invites mankind to reach its highest potential. This potential is contained in Islam. It takes care of all mankind's needs and cultivates them. In this cultivation, mankind's overall progress is contained.
Okay, this was the voice of Allama Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, one of the rare recordings of his voice in Farsi language, along with the English translation, in which he talks about the importance of philosophy. Dr. Rezazadeh, as Allama says, it seems that the philosophical sessions and the courses on philosophy was not at that time very much welcome in the city of Najaf. So after getting back to Iran, Allama says that I wanted to get to Tehran and then the city of Qom in order to be more familiar with the philosophy. Is this philosophy, Allama, talking about the same hikmah and the, we can say, which was known as the Islamic philosophy in the houses of that time? Is it the same or no? This is something else.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, it's actually the same thing, you know, because Islamic philosophy that is called hikmah by some of the philosophers is actually not necessarily the product of the Muslim thinkers. It is actually the continuity of the Greek philosophy. It's a branch of philosophy, realistic philosophy. But at the same time, because Muslim thinkers realized that a lot of the principles that they saw in the Greek philosophy of Aristotle and others were very much in line with the, let's say, the rational teachings of Islam, they used those methods in order to explain the Islamic teachings. And the product of that was that there was a huge expansion in the philosophy in its Greek meaning. Philosophers like Avicenna and philosophers before him and after him, they really expanded the domain of this of that philosophy.
That's right.
So the philosophy that came into Islam is now something much greater, much bigger, and much more in line and inconsistent with the Islamic teachings. It was used as a means to explain the Islamic teaching. So that's the same, and that is one of the reasons, not the only reason, that is one of the reasons that that philosophy was highly under the attack of some of the more conservative scholars throughout the history of Islam, because they said that, okay, that is something that has come from the, you know, from the non-Muslim thinkers, that does not belong to us, that is the philosophy of the infidels and these type of things. Or non-believers, and that these type of accusations and that type of approach to the philosophy was one of the reasons the philosophy was not popular. Not only popular, it was there was a huge opposition against it by others among the, you know, more conservative and more traditional, traditional scholars. But Allama Tabatabai, knowing the needs of his time, and actually the capacity of that rational methods in order to use for explaining and answering the questions of the time, he knew that that is the best thing that he needs to use. So he was really serious in not paying any attention to any of those oppositions, and he kept learning, and then later on in Qom, teaching philosophy, and he trained amazing and great scholars in philosophy.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Dr. Rezazadeh. But Said Mohsen, in the voice that we heard from Allama Tabatabai, he said that Islam in itself has kamal or perfection. So it seems that Allama Tabatabai is comparing a religion like Islam with the philosophical thought. And he says that Islam through itself can bring this materialistic, we can say, welfare, freedom, and perfection for humanity. And this is what the others are looking through philosophy. So what's your take on that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is a saying from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in which he says, "Ad-din huwa al-aql, wal-aql huwa ad-din," which means that the religion itself is the intellect, and intellect is religion.
That's right.
According to this saying, it means that whatever intellect orders us or the rationality tells us, that's what religion tells us.
Yes.
And Islam do not say anything against rationality or intellect.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the intellect. But this intellect should be pure. When Allah Ta'ala is referring towards the perfection and he says that the religion brings the perfection and it has the perfection, it is because in the Western philosophy we have a problem. And that is the materialism.
Mm-hmm.
The materialistic thinking or thoughts, it has caused philosophy to deviate from its right path.
That's right.
Obviously, when we talk about the intellect and the rationality, if we just think materially,
that's right,
then it is not good. Obviously, mm-hmm. the human being consists of two things. There is a soul and the body.
Yes.
This body is material. What about the soul?
Mm-hmm.
Today we see that the people are after peace. They're after peace. They can't find this inner peace in themselves.
Yes.
Whereas the body is eating perfectly. They are doing exercises, for example. They're having, if they have a good money, they're entertaining themselves through different means.
Yes.
All those things are there. But still, there is no inner peace. That inner peace refers to the soul. And Allama Tabatabai, when he's referring to the perfection, this perfection is for the soul, basically.
Yes.
Where you're looking at the body itself, you need to look at the soul as mm-hmm. well. And this Islamic, we can say, teachings and Islamic philosophy,
yes.
which is based on the teachings of the Qur'an
mm-hmm.
and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, obviously, this takes you toward the perfection. And it can take every single person towards the perfection if we follow it rationally.
A question is posed over here that some rulings and some of the understanding of the traditional clerics at the time of Allama was that everything that is understood through the Quran and Hadith is absolutely accepted by us. And through them, because they are 100%, we are sure about them, we use them as the guidelines for our lives. We know that Allama Tabatabai, through encouraging the people to read philosophy or having philosophical courses, wanted somehow to talk about this rational tool and give them this rational tool in order to also read the Holy Quran and the Ahadith throughout the history. This is very different because we know that before Allama, even during Allama, and even nowadays, we have some of the clergymen and scholars and the ustaz, even in the houses, that they do not believe in philosophy. Is it true?
Yes, it is true. Even at the time of Allama Tabatabai, we have this, that one of his students have narrated that once Allama Tabatabai, with his one of his scholar friends, he was an alim as well. They both were traveling towards Mashhad.
That's right.
And on the way, his friend, obviously, he was against the philosophy. Mm-hmm. And especially like Islamic philosophy. Yes. There's nothing with the name of philosophy and Islamic philosophy. And Allama asked him, what is your rationale? What is your reasoning for this? Can you bring your logic? What's your logic? He started to give different reasons for that. And then Allama was keep referring that, you know what you're saying, this is referred as this formula in the philosophy.
Yeah.
We call this dialogue that you're doing with me, this is this kind of reasoning in the philosophy.
Okay.
And at the end, the friend, he understood that even when he is in the Islamic teachings, according to the Quran or riwayat or narrations, when he's making his own reasoning or rationality against the philosophy, he's using the philosophical tools to do that.
That's right.
The intellectual tools.
Okay.
To do that.
Yes.
So basically, that's why Allama is referring to learn the philosophy. Why? Because philosophy gives you the power.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said that to his students, you guys need to learn logic.
That's right.
And the principles, like principles of jurisprudence and the logics.
Okay.
Why? Because those who refuse or who are against philosophy, you can tell them which tool they are using.
That's
basically.
Right. This is what Dr. Razazadeh very much missed among the Muslim scholars of this time. I mean, making an applicable formula of Islamic philosophy for the daily life. We know that Shahid Mutahhari was one of the outstanding students of Allama Tabatabai, maybe the best student, among the philosophers. And I think that he made even Allama's framework more applicable for the youth because he brought, we can say, through this rational thinking, he could address the youth and give them, we can say, Islamic content in a very beautiful way, something which is missed among the Muslim philosophers nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I remember once I was in a pilgrimage trip in Mecca and I was talking to another brother in a taxi. He saw me and he asked me about what I study in the seminary. I said, yeah, I study philosophy. And he said, what is the use of philosophy? Why do we need to study philosophy? You know, this very common question many people have. And also the same mentality that the scholars had at that time. So why do we need it all? We are Muslims. We can refer to the Quran and Hadith and they answer all of our questions. And I could not go to the very deep, you know, discussions of philosophy and the necessity of philosophy with him. But I answered with a very simple question. I said, if someone asks me about the existence of God, can I say, okay, God is existent. God exists because he has said that I exist in the Quran. You know, that sounds ridiculous. I cannot say that I believe in God because God has said that I exist, you know.
Referring to himself.
In order to answer some basic questions, we need some other methods.
Proofs,
the most important method that we have, and every person, every human being shares that method, is the method of reason and rationality. And rationality and reason is what has been formulated and has been organized in the shape of what we call it philosophy. So philosophy in this sense, and
Hikmah the same?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Muslim. Let's
Arabic
say,
terminology.
Yeah, you know, it's. I think that is only preference of the Muslim philosophers because they were really loved philosophy. They used hikmah, but I don't think that hikmah is limited to philosophy.
For example, La Sadra was a hakim.
Yeah, you know, Muslim philosophers use hikmah for philosophy.
Yes.
You know, but it does not mean that hikmah means philosophy literally means philosophy.
Okay.
Because hikmah is a very comprehensive word. It means wisdom.
Yes.
Muslim thinkers and philosophers, they found Islamic philosophy as one of the examples of wisdom. So they use that term for that knowledge.
That's all right.
But hikmah is not limited to philosophy in general.
That's
so I just wanted to say that according to Allama, philosophy in this sense is not something that establishes the rules. It's a tool to discover the rules that God has created in this world.
It's a light.
It's a lantern that lights the road.
Okay.
So we look through philosophy. We look through reason.
It was very kind of you, Dr. Rezazadeh.
Absolutely.
And thank you very much, Said Mohsen.
You're welcome.
Dear audience, dear listeners, thank you very much too for listening to this episode of The Teacher, which was an analysis on the philosophical thoughts of Allama Tabatabai. Visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page, also our YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah. Mu'allim.